Well, Buck Rising joins us now. I think he sent some messages to some people, Buck Rising from A to Z Sports. Just how ready are some of the Titans brass who responded to your messages, Buck? Just how ready might they be for a Jarrell KC reunion?
Yeah, no way in hell. that's...
Now, let's see. Don't like, be so subtle, Buck.
Like... That's basically a consensus. You know, I texted about, you know, 4 or 5 people yesterday. I got 3 solid no ways. So I would not expect that, mostly on the part of Jarrell Casey. I think more than anything, I think if you go back and look at his comments, the first time that he talked to Denver media, and he didn't talk a ton because there were only so many games that he played, and he only played in 3. The Titans sold at the right time on Jarrell. His body was starting to fall apart really as early as that Baltimore playoff game. And the fact that they were able to offload that massive contract and get draft capital out of it is pretty, it's probably the best thing John Robinson did last offseason. In fact, I think it is the best thing that John Robinson did last offseason. Now, you would like the corresponding cap space that they freed up with that trade to do more for the 2020 Titans, but in 2021, I can almost guarantee that Jarrell Casey is not going to be on the roster.
Is that just based on, again, where he is injury-wise at this point in his career, or do you think it'd be how much he could cost? Is it how things ultimately ended? Is it a combination of everything, or is it something as simple as they see a player who probably physically just can't provide much help anymore?
I mean, listen, he was productive in that first game, Titans Broncos week 1. Like, he was batting down passes. He was disruptive. He still has the ability to do all those things. I think mainly it's Jarrell's pride more than anything.
Yeah.
Based on a couple of people that I talked to yesterday. And I mean, if you can find a serviceable second D tackle to put next to Jeffrey Simmons, why would it be 32-year-old Jarrell Casey? It's just there are better uses of the money right now that they, with more clear and obvious needs that they need to address. I just, it sounds lovely for everybody who loves Jarrell Casey and everything that Jarrell Casey did for the Tennessee Titans and largely the city of Nashville. So I understand why there's that emotional attachment, but let go and let God is what I would say.
I think you have that bumper sticker on your car. Buck Rising, A to Z Sports, joins Alex Apple and Mickey Ryan on Blaine and Mickey.
And I told them they should have Get Buck in Here by DJ Felly Fell as your intro music, which I saw you tweet. I mean, you talked about a song I haven't thought about since 2006.
I wake up, I turn the shuffle on, whatever it provides to me is what I listen to when I get up in the morning at about 5:30. And today it was DJ Felly Fell. So high school me was hyped to get going, get in the shower, and get to the gym this morning.
Not too bad. Let me ask you this. As far as duplicating the model of what was successful about the Jarrell Casey trade, avoiding dead cap space, getting a little something in draft capital, and moving on really at the perfect time, is there anyone on the Titans roster that they may do that with this offseason that, for one, would have another team actually interested in trading for, as opposed to just cutting some of these guys to free up cap space?
Yeah, that's something that's been floated mainly about Taylor Lewan, and not floated as in people are talking about that would be able to trade Taylor Lewan, but like that's a lot of questions that I get from people on Twitter in my mentions and you know on the various different platforms that I'm sitting here gas bagging about. Like the way Lewan's contract is structured, he's gonna make 13.6 this year, 14.9 in 2022. And 14.8 in 2023. Now, the thing about Lewan that you don't know is how he responds from the ACL tear, but it just, him being really the only candidate for something like that, that's not a move that you want to take. For what Taylor Lewan is and the position that he plays, honestly, from that deal that he signed just about 3 years ago, a little less than, he looks like a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Like when you look at what Laramie Tunsil broke the market last year, but when you look at like even what Jack Conklin got to go play last year in Cleveland on a shorter deal, albeit. But Taylor Lewan is a really good value for the caliber of player that we last saw Taylor be. Now, we don't know what he's going to look like. ACLs are pretty routine. And Taylor is a, you know, I know he's been super diligent about the rehabilitation process. And frankly, it happened really early in the year. So you're probably going to get the healthiest version of Taylor Lewan that you've had in some time. But understanding why people are kind of looking at what they did with Jarrell last year and saying, can you offload anybody? I don't think anybody wants Malcolm Butler at $14 million. I think that what happens there, in all likelihood, and this is going to happen around the league, nobody's going to take on these big contracts. They're just going to cut them. They're just going to cut them. The guys that they want to try and restructure, they'll try and restructure. But I mean, it's going to be a bloodbath on the free agent market this year. J.J. Watt, Adam Humphries are two really good examples of that. The starting safety in Carolina, his name escapes me right now. But like names that you recognize of big-time players that have been on big second deals outside of their rookie contracts, you're going to see a ton of them available on the market this year.
And so in baseball, you have even some of the highest paid free agents or some of the better players in the market stay unsigned for a long time. I mean, I think the baseball, you know, salary cap structure is really screwed up. I mean, I think a lot of people would say it needs to be reworked. So you don't have great players re-signed.
Oh, yeah. And now Pujols still making like $30 million this year. Isn't that the thing?
Marcelo Ozuna just re-signs for the Braves. He's going to be a great player, but he barely, you know, got it in before spring training. So is the lower cap more apt to affect the lower end free agents? You're talking the guys that might have signed for $4 and $5 million now are going to get one or two. Or do you think the league is more going to course correct by being less apt to offer Matt Judon $16 million and some of these higher price tags? Like, where is the savings going to be? Lower price, higher price?
So I think a lot of these middle tier guys are who you're going to see out there and available. Like, that's going to be where teams start as they kind of bleed their roster or their salary cap dry. I think the way that you're going to see a lot of rosters constructed around the NFL this year, once we get finally, you know, once salary caps get finalized, once roster gets finalized, is you're going to see a ton of you're going to see star players and you're going to see rookies. You're going to see affordable guys, and then you're going to see like the highest price guys that are still capable of producing at a star, you know, at a superstar level. Like, that's really where it's going to be. The middle ground for, like, you know, take just for example, a player like Kenny Vaccaro, who's on a second deal and was had at a relatively good price. But I don't know what the market's going to be like for Kenny if he, in fact, does get cut. I think he's the most likely next name up there. I think you do a lot. Between Malcolm Butler, Kenny Vaccaro, and low-key Ben Jones, unless you're going to extend these guys, I mean, you straight up got to get rid of them. At least if you're the Titans, like the Titans are up against the cap. Titans have like now about $6 million that they can play with after Humphries is gone. But ultimately, you are going to see high caliber, high price tag players at the top of rosters and the rest filled out in a way that's one-year deals, rookie contracts, journeyman, cost effective in a year where the cap is down about 15 mil.
Buck Rising, A to Z Sports, joins us. So Isaiah Wilson, since the last time you were on, he quit the Titans via Twitter. He was done. And then he deleted the tweet. And I don't get too wrapped up in things that happen on Twitter, because people get emotional and they tweet stuff and they delete it. But when it's this guy and it's just the latest misstep and a number of missteps, now there's a report that the Titans are trying to shop him. You mentioned first thing we got to talking about was how John Robinson dealt Jarrell Casey's contract to the Denver Broncos. Essentially, that's what was traded. Is anybody going to trade anything and take this mess off the Titans' hands?
I mean, it only takes one team to just not do their homework, right? But yeah, and listen, that sounds like a ridiculous thing, but it's there's a lot of dumb football teams. Like, you don't have to look anywhere further than the AFC South to see how many dumb football teams there are in professional football. The only reason Isaiah Wilson's still on the roster is because they're shopping it. The bigger news is that if somebody actually takes Isaiah Wilson on his rookie deal, there is so little reason to believe that a dude who is this blatantly unprofessional, publicly unprofessional, is going to wind up being somebody that a team willingly gives up draft capital for. I don't know. I can't say definitively to you that it would never happen. Like I said, it only takes one dumb team. But Isaiah Wilson is just here because they're seeing if they can squeeze anything out of what's left of him. And, you know, what they didn't get anything out of him in the first place, which is the bigger problem. There's nothing on the football field in 2020 to indicate that this guy is going to be able to play. You have no evidence of that. You have one special team snap where he's planted flatly on his ass and three in victory formation in a blowout win at Indianapolis there. That's what's on film. And if you want that, you can find it on the internet because it's being circulated widely. The Isaiah Wilson thing is a cautionary tale to every other NFL team, because it's not, you know, you blame the people responsible for drafting him, of course. But I really do think that there is a curve that needs to be accounted for in a virtual offseason, especially the first time around. But now that everybody knows the rules, they know what adjustments need to be made until things get less virtual, which is no time in the future at this point for the NFL. But Isaiah Wilson is absolutely a cautionary tale that don't just take what you see on a Zoom call and a couple of vettings from guys who aren't trying to hurt themselves in college recruiting. Don't just take that as a reason to draft the dude in the first round. This is what can happen.
It just blows my mind. And this is a question probably better asked to a psychiatrist or psychologist, whatever it is.
Don't worry. I'll be your psychiatrist today. It's okay.
For him to have tricked them so mightily, it couldn't have been worse. He had to have, at least looked good on this computer screen like I'm looking at you right now. But do you think it makes the Titans, let's say the Titans really like Ojulari from Georgia in the first round of the draft this year. Can you trust the people from Georgia who clearly were probably painting him with, Georgia red colored glasses on last year? I mean, how deep is the mistrust or stain from screwing that up?
I mean, there's going to be issues the next time that John Robinson and his staff bring up a Georgia player as somebody who the Titans might add to the roster. That's of course going to happen when something like this goes this wrong. The thing that I hear more often than anything is that Isaiah Wilson just a little bit fraudulent. Like he just kind of fooled people. Because listen, the tape's great. The tape is great, okay? Like, he is hugely talented as a football player. And I know college is different, but if you're going to take a sample size that can translate well to the NFL, it's going to be in the SEC, and it's going to be at Georgia. Like, this is not something where it's just the dude couldn't play. It's that they weren't able to do the full workup or research that they might have been able to do in any other year. They liked him at the combine, which was the last normal event, and that impression was good enough to carry over until April when they ended up drafting this dude 29. Like the comments from them back there, like they put their neck out for this dude. They did the same thing for Jeffrey Simmons. So I don't discount that they really believe that they had a good player. It's just that this guy, they thought that they could get him in a situation where he was supported and helped to overcome immaturities, and he ended up just isolating himself not once but twice because of the COVID list, and then a third time they isolated him from the team because they said, get the hell out of here, we're trying to win a division title, we don't have time for this crap right now. And he just ends up going down on a boat and partying in on South Beach with a bunch of women whose age I hope he checked.
what have you heard, Buck Rising on with us, what have you heard about maybe based on the one game suspension or anything else, that if they can't unload him, that maybe they would be relieved of some of their financial obligations based on what he did, some of the things that he did?
It's possible. Joe Corey makes from CBS Sports, former NFL agent. I'm sure you guys have had him on the Zone before. Joel in his column makes a really good case for that being the remainder of the guaranteed money that they haven't already paid out. It's about $5.6 million right now that they don't have guaranteed for Isaiah Wilson. That one-game suspension allows for flexibility if you want to try and recoup some of that money. Now, the biggest problem with all that is it's not going to count towards this year's cap. Like, it's the Vic Beasley thing over again. Like, you weren't going to get that $9.5 million back for this past season, it was going to come next year in some form or fashion. So whatever they get back off Isaiah Wilson, if they in fact try to, is not going to account for this year and this team's salary cap. it's going to come down the road because you're going to have to go through arbitration, and that's not getting resolved before rosters are finalized in September.
Well, and the crazy thing is, if you just have to cut him, they're like upside down $4 million, I think, Buck, on his contract. I think that's the number this year, yep, the dead money. I think it's $4 million. They don't have $4 million. That means they got to cut you and me and Alex Apple out of broadcasting. I mean, they don't have $4 million.
Well, don't give them the option to, Mick. They may come for us. But I think that the problem, you know, the problem is multi-layered, right? Because obviously you have first-round capital invested in this dude. Now you have a situation that seems to be untenable, and it's going to impact you, this mistake, for not just one season, but several, if you can't figure out a way to get this done. So I don't have a clean answer for you on that, other than they screwed up and they got to find a way to make the best situation possible. Vin Marino, their salary cap wizard, is really good at his job, but there are things put in place to help protect the player. You just don't, that are negotiated and collectively bargained in the CBA. So those protections are still applying to Isaiah Wilson, even though he seems to have largely been negligent on his side of the deal.
Wow. I wish you were painting a little rosier picture. Let me ask you, I mean, the whole, we're going to sit here for months and debate this in nuance and detail. The whole big picture is going to come down to whether in the end, and you just talked about the salary cap wizardry that's probably going to be needed here, is going to allow the Titans to enter 2021 with a better team than they left with this past year. I mean, 1 to 10, real simple question. The chances that the Titans are actually able to meaningfully improve the roster in some sort of discernible way is what?
Yeah, it's probably, you know, an 8, because the free agency makes it easy. All the defensive players are not all of them, but largely they're free agents. Like, you got the ability to wipe this whole slate clean and get better players. Now, are you going to upgrade over Jayon Brown right away? Probably not. Can you find a better pass rush option than Jadeveon Clowney? Yes. Can you find a better corner situation than Desmond King? I think very much so. I think Desmond King, what he did here was good, and they needed it when Christian Fulton and Adoree Jackson were injured. But this is not a situation where this is a make or break player. He was nowhere close to the same guy that we saw be a Pro Bowler in 2018. This is a different player. It's the reason he got benched in Los Angeles the first time around. So you got to wipe up some of the excess in the salary cap, and you have a shot at getting somebody who's going to be able to make a bigger impact than some of the guys that are walking this year.
Buck Rising, A to Z Sports Primetime, also the 615 session. What's the latest on the ye old 615 sesh? What's the most recent guest?
Sheil Kapadia of The Athletic. He's an incredible NFL columnist for that website. He's also very closely tied to Russell Wilson and Carson Wentz, because he covered them both in previous stops. He's doing free agency primers. We went down the roster of guys who are going to be free agents for the Titans this year. We talked about their market. Subscribe, rate, and review.
Sounds good, my friend. Buck, have a great weekend, brother. We'll talk at you maybe not the exact same time next week, but next Friday for sure.
I'll be around. See you, boys.